You know, when we open the Bible, especially Christmas time, we would like to listen to Christmas message. Good Friday time, we want to listen to Good Friday messages. Right? Occasion, we want to listen to occasions. So today, when we look to the Christmas time, there are many stories. There are many stories told in the Christmas season. Now, one, when we start reading from Luke chapter 1, it starts from Zechariah. It starts from Zechariah, the family of Zechariah. Then it goes to Mary, then goes to Joseph, then comes to shepherds. Then we see the wise men entering into the scene. Then we see the manger. Now, these are the stories, you know, what we are told from our childhood. We are told from our childhood. But today, I'm going to pick up a verse from Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Who is he? He is Christ the Lord. Today, a Savior is born in the city of David. A Savior is born in the city of David. And he is Christ the Lord. He is Christ the Lord, a Savior, and he is Christ, and he is Lord. A Savior, he is Christ, and he is Lord. Savior, in the Hebrew, if we look into this word Savior, is Joshua, Yehoshua. Joshua, the meaning of Joshua is Savior. Yeshua, that's where that word comes. Yeshua, the word means Savior. Today in the city of David, that is Jerusalem, that is Bethlehem, we talk about Judea, and this is the place where the prophecy has been made. The prophecy has been made in Genesis chapter 49, when Jacob is blessing, and when Jacob comes to bless Judah, this is the prophecy he gives, that Judah, out of Judah, the Savior will come. Out of Judah, the Savior will come. And that's the reason when we see that Augustus, when he had become the emperor, he made it a point. That means the prophecy has been fulfilled. What God has told about 3,500 years back, that has been fulfilled. And the Judah, the Bethlehem, Jerusalem, all of them, they come together to be fulfilled. The promise of God will fulfill. The prophecy of God is always true. If the prophecy comes to you, if the prophecy comes to me, if the prophecy comes to anybody through God, God's servant, once it takes place, then you should be aware that God is speaking to you. God would like to use you, and you have been called and chosen by God himself. And do not resist. The word of God says that resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. But many of us, when we do not understand how the Holy Spirit works, then what we do is we resist the Holy Spirit. We resist the Holy Spirit. Now, when we resist the Holy Spirit, the purpose of God is defeated in our life. The purpose of God is defeated in our life. So the good news for the world, that Savior is born and he is Christ the Lord. The meaning of Christ, the Lord, Messiah. What we see is Messiah. Messiah means anointed person. Messiah means anointed person, Hamashach. That is the Hebrew word. That means whenever they use this word Hamashak, that means the person is anointed. There are three people in the Jewish culture, they are anointed by God. Because unless and until there is anointing of God on these people, the congregation will not accept, the assembly of God will not accept this person as God's spoken person. They will not accept. So therefore, he needs to be anointed. And there are three people who were anointed in the congregation of Hebrews. Number one is a priest. Number one is a priest. Priest must be anointed. Number two is a king. King must be anointed. Number three, a prophet. A prophet must be anointed. A prophet must be anointed. Now, when you read Bible very carefully, look into these three people. When you're reading about prophet, you will always see that prophet is anointed. There is a ceremony going on. In that ceremony, the people have blessed him, poured oil on him, and stretched their hands, touched them, and they have blessed him in the name of the Father, and they have blessed him and they have prayed, because in the Old Testament we don't see Trinity. So they have prayed in the name of Jehovah. And once they have prayed and anointed, this person is separated from the ordinary people to serve God. So the priest is anointed. The king is anointed. When you read about Saul, the first king, then you read about David, the second king, there we see the anointing of God has come upon these people because God has chosen. And once these people were anointed, people have accepted and they have heard their voice, they obeyed the voice. And they said, he is our king, Saul is our king, David is our king. They have accepted. And when Aaron was anointed, they have accepted Aaron. When priests were anointed, they have accepted the priests and the prophets. But here, when they use the word Messiah for Jesus Christ, it is not Mashak, but it is Hamashak. Hamashak means all three portfolios in one person. All three portfolios in one person. That means one person being a priest, high priest, one person being a king of kings, and the one person being a prophet. All these three were in Jesus Christ alone. Therefore, the anointing, the Messiah, the word has been used in the Bible only for Jesus Christ. Only for Jesus Christ. So when you hear a word Messiah, that means it is Jesus himself. Because Jesus is our priest, Jesus is our king, and Jesus is our prophet. These three portfolios only Jesus had in his life. No other person. No other person. So, the second thing what he says is not only Messiah, but he is Lord. That word Lord is used for El, that means God, Yehovah, Jehovah. Now we all know that God has sent his son into this world. But when you go to read the first chapter and the first verse of John, we are reminded how God has become a creator, becoming a creature to save his creation. So there are three portfolios and God himself coming onto this world to save you and me. Jesus being our high priest, now he came into this world and he has become a high priest for you and for me. Every high priest, every year, they have to go into the most holy place to offer the sacrifice, and for the forgiveness of sin, they have to carry the blood into the most holy place. every high priest, every year, they have to carry the blood of the animal into the most holy place. But let us see about our Jesus Christ, who had become our high priest. Let us go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firm to the faith we profess. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who went into the presence of God, who is in the presence of God, who is standing in the presence of God. Now, every high priest in this world, every year they used to go into the presence of God with the blood of animals. But our high priest went into the presence of God once for all, not with the blood of the animals, but with his own blood. He entered into the most holy place. He entered into the most holy place, making his praise and worship for you and for me. And therefore, that's what I said. You know, if you have to remind Christmas, if you have to remember the Christmas in your life, now remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That will give you sense. And Paul says that I'm not preaching the sermon of Christmas, but I preach Christ crucified. It makes a lot of sense to him to preach Christ crucified. Now, if I preach the crucifixion sermon today, you'll say, Pastor, em matladutunnadu? Good Friday enduku matladunnadu, Pastor? Why Pastor is preaching on Good Friday? Without Good Friday, there is no Christmas, my friends. Without Good Friday, without cross, there is no Christmas in our life. The whole Christmas sermon is fulfilled in the cross of Calvary when Christ died for you and for me. And our whole life starts not in a manger, but our whole life starts from the cross of Calvary towards the throne of God. Jesus died for you and for me. For that reason, he had come into this world. For that reason, he has come into this world. He came into this world to die for us. That was his main object. That was his main purpose of coming into this world. And he's our high priest. That means he's our leader. You know, the best quality of the leader, the best quality of the leader is becoming a servant. Unless and until a leader becomes a servant, he will never be able to serve the people. The best quality of every leader in the church or in the society, wherever you go, if you want to find a best person, best leader, you search for his qualities, what qualities he has. Unless and until he has a quality of a servant, never he will be a good leader. And our Jesus had a best quality. Our Jesus had a best quality. Our Savior has a best quality. Our priest had a best quality of becoming a servant. Therefore, he was born in a manger. Therefore, he was born in a manger, because that shows how humble he was. How humble he was. Let's go to Philippians. Chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And Reading from verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ, Jesus, the anointed one. The anointed one. You need to have a quality of Jesus Christ, who was our priest, who was our king, and who is our prophet. We need to have the same quality. We need to have the same nature. Same attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. What was his attitude? What was his attitude? Who being very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to understand. Being God, being the master, being the leader. If I have to preach, I can use a small phrase in Telugu. When the wise men came in search of Jesus Christ, they said, Rajulaku Raju, ekkadunnadu? Kotalo unnada, totalo unnada. Kotalo ledu, totalo ledu. Ekkadundandi? Pashula pakalo unnadanta. That is the nature of a servant. That is the nature of humbleness. Being God, that's what it says, unto you, a savior, Christ the Lord, God who created the whole universe, had come into our midst, a creator becoming a creature to save his whole creation. He came into this world. He was so equally to God, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him. Therefore he's called the first fruit who has risen from the dead. The first fruit who has been risen from the dead. The first fruit who has taken his own blood. This is the high priest. Not only that, he's our king. He's our king of kings. You know, when we read Revelation chapter 19, it says a man is coming and his name. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Actually, it starts from verse 11, the rider on the white horse. But I'll just go to verse 16. On his robes and on his thing, he has this name written. What is his name written? King of kings and Lord of lords. What is his name? King of kings and Lord of lords. Now listen very carefully. Why he had become the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Every king in this world has built their kingdom upon the innocent blood. Every king has built his kingdom upon the innocent blood. But our Savior, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, being our King, he never killed anybody. He never built his kingdom on the innocent blood, but he shed his own blood. Through his own blood, he has built his kingdom. Therefore, his kingdom is forever and ever. Therefore, his name is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Therefore, a God who humbled himself and became a servant, God exalted him. God exalted him. God exalted him. The good news is for everyone. Good news is for everyone. God so loved the world, he has sent his Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is individual decision. Whosoever believeth on him, Whosoever believeth on him, that means God never forces us to believe, but it should come from our heart to believe God. But the idea of God, that was not the idea of God. He has given us choice to believe our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has given us a choice to believe our high priest. He has given us a choice to believe our prophet. But what was the original idea of God? That is in John chapter 3 and verse 15. John chapter 3 and verse 15. What God is speaking to us through that verse. Verse 15. Verse 15. That everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. The word of God says that everyone must have eternal life. Eternal life is a gift of God given to us through Jesus Christ. There are two gifts. Eternal life is a gift of God, and salvation is a gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Salvation is a gift of God. And eternal life is a gift of God. And the gift of God is given to us because God wants every person on this earth to be saved. But 16 says everybody will not be saved because everybody will not believe. And whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The 17th verse. God has sent his son not to condemn this world but to save the world. Jesus Christ has come into this world to save the world. Therefore he's called Savior. Therefore he's called Joshua. Therefore he's called Yeshua. Yeshua has come into this world because he is the Savior. God himself has come into this world because he loves the world. He wants us to be saved. And he doesn't want to condemn us, but to save us. Messiah had come, who has fulfilled all the promises. He is our high priest. He is our king. And he is our Savior and prophet. You know, when Christ has died on the cross of Calvary, something has happened. Something had happened. The veil was torn. The moment the veil was torn, the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled upon all of us. Whosoever believeth on him, the blood of Jesus has been sprinkled on us. As soon as we accept Jesus Christ, not only Jesus is our high priest, not only Jesus is our Savior, not only Jesus is our King, not only Jesus is our prophet, but through his blood, we have become the priests, the kings, and the prophets. 1 Peter 2nd chapter, verse 9. First Peter, second chapter, and verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Who are we? We are the priesthood. We are priests. We are priests through Christ Jesus, because we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We are born in the family of Jesus Christ. You know, if I ask Said family to stand, then there are four people who will be standing. Because they are born to this family and they have become Said family. Now, once we accept Jesus Christ and once we enter into his family, we become what he is. And we are the priests, a priest who stands between God and people. A king who fights for the God's people. A prophet who brings the message of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the word of God says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a name, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. Amen. We have been called out of darkness into the light. The light has shined upon us. The great light, the Sun of Righteousness. This is Malachi, our fourth chapter, when you read Sun of Righteousness, and it is not S-O-N, it is S-U-N. Niti Suryudu in Telugu. The Sun of Righteousness has come into this world so that we may have light of God. The light, the meaning of light is revelation. The hidden things in us will be revealed to us. The secrets, the darkness which is in us will be revealed to us. You know, many people, we, as a humans, we cannot take the glory of God. Whenever there is the glory of God, we are afraid. And that's the reason you read Bible very carefully. Whenever the angel appeared to people, they were afraid. They were afraid. Joseph was afraid, Mary was afraid, Zechariah was afraid, Isaiah was afraid. Every person in the Bible, they are afraid. Because you know, once the sin entered into us, our mind is so changed, it will not take the good news or the glory of God. Always our mind becomes afraid. Because when God called Adam, in chapter 3 and verse 10 of Genesis, he says, I heard your voice, but I was afraid. Why should we be afraid of God's voice? Why should we be afraid of God's plan? Why should we be afraid of God's word in our life? But that's how our mind has been changed because of sin. And to take away that fear from us, Christ has come into this world as a Savior, as a Messiah, a God who gave us birth, God who made us in his own image, had died for you and for me on the cross of Calvary, so that he may remove that fear from us to understand the plan and the purpose of God. This Christmas is nothing but to understand the plan and purpose of God in our life. That's the reason Christ died, so that you will become an ambassador of Christ. You will become an ambassador of Christ. And you know, let me tell you something. Heaven belongs to veterans. Heaven belongs to veterans. Who are the veterans? Who go to war, fight wars. You are in the army of God. You are not in the secret service. Tell yourself that I'm not in secret service. I'm in the army of God. I need to be a veteran to enter into the kingdom of God. I need to enter. And whenever you proclaim the word of God, don't twist the word of God. Because many times we tell ourselves that I don't want to hurt my opponent. And you, what we do, according to our own convenience, we would like to make up that story. No. Whatever God is asking us, we need to tell to the people. Otherwise, we become traitors. You cannot change the message. You cannot change the opinion. But if you are trying to change, and if you are trying to use your own method, then you are afraid of something. That fear comes not from God, but from devil. And to take that fear from us, Jesus Christ has come into this world. He died for our sins.
He has rose on the third day from the death. He has given us victory so that we will serve him with our truthful heart. And Jesus said, love one another. Right? Love one another. No, that was not his statement. The new commandment is love one another as I loved you. You don't love one another as you like. Right? You don't love one another as you like. John 13, 34, 35. You don't love as you like other people. You have to like as Jesus loved you and gave himself so that you and I may live and live eternal life, everlasting life, without fear. And this Christmas is a gift of Jesus Christ given to us to take away our fear from us. Shall we bow down our heads in prayer? Let's look to the Lord. For unto us a Savior is born, Christ the Lord, the anointed Savior, Messiah. God who created this world humbled himself, and he has come into this world so that you and I may have eternal life, everlasting life, through Jesus Christ. And today, as we being in the presence of God, it is a wonderful opportunity given to us once again to examine ourselves and to confess and to repent and to say that, Lord, take this fear from me. Take this fear away from me, O Lord, so that whenever I speak about you, I will speak in truth. I will speak in boldness. I will speak with courage. Because, Lord, you died for me. For that reason, you have humbled yourself and you have come and born in a manger. Give me that understanding. I want your blessings, O Lord. I want to be a blessed person. I want to be a blessing to many people. I want to reach out. I want to tell to this world the good news that Christ is the Savior. There is only one way. And that is the way of Jesus Christ, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only one way, and that is the way of Jesus Christ. May we not twist the statements. May we not twist the Bible, O Lord. But may we be courageous to tell people in this world. We thank and praise you for this time given to us. We thank and praise you, O Lord, for the precious gift of Jesus Christ. We thank and praise you, O Lord, for your mercy. We thank and praise you, O Lord, for your grace. We thank you, O Father. We thank you. We thank you. Shall we all stand for the benediction, please? I want you to raise the right hand, please. As we receive the benediction, I want you to raise the right hand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord turn towards you and give you his peace, which passeth all understanding. May the glory of God shine upon you. The presence of God shall go before you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Be of good courage and do not be dismayed. And all God's people said, Amen, Amen, Amen.